Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Rev Hang. As you can see, things are a little off this week. I forgot my mic, like the smart man that I am. So we're rolling with one mic, so things sound a little off or weird, which I'm sure they will. That is the reason why. But we are back. It has been a few weeks, Ben, since our last excursion into the internet. This is my host, Ben Bagley, alongside me. I probably should have introduced you first. But anyway, how are you, Ben?
This feels like the Apollo 13 of podcasts.
Yeah, this is going so well so far. I've got to do calculus to get out of this.
It's okay. I only made you wait a couple minutes while I made coffee.
I made you wait 30 minutes for me to write the script, so.
I've been going to a chiropractor, so that's fun.
There you go.
For my back.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Nice. How's that working out for you?
Going great so far. Really good. Helped the recovery times.
Good. Glad to hear it. Well, this is not a chiropractic podcast. That's,
boring.
Probably. Lots of popping.
The chiropractor asks the same questions about your life every single week.
Yep. Because they forget. Yeah. This is a racing podcast, and we have plenty to get to, as you will find out. So let's dive right in. But before we do, there is an announcement I would like to make real quick. Rev Hang will officially be releasing on Wednesdays moving forward instead of Tuesdays, because...
What, do you have a full-time job or something?
I do have a full-time job or something, and on Mondays I go from 6 a.m. when I wake up until usually about 1 a.m. once the video is uploaded and ready to go for Tuesday release.
We hate that.
And I would like to not dread Mondays as much as I already do. So, this will give me time to edit on Tuesdays, which I will be more in a headspace for, and have more time to do so, meaning more effects for you guys.
You do more silly things?
I can do more silly things, because I will have the capacity to do so, and I won't be sitting there at 11:30, like, trying to figure out how much to make the screen shake, looking at the clock like I should have gone to bed an hour and a half ago. So, I think this will work better for me. I'm not getting paid to do this, so I don't really care.
That's fair, yeah. And, you know, it gives you something to, like, you look forward to middle of the week.
Exactly.
You're, like, getting over the crest, and then you have a podcast with just two guys.
Just two guys.
Talking about racing.
With
sometimes other things.
Every episode, something else is going wrong. But that's okay. We're here. We're doing it.
On this episode, Ben will talk exclusively about the Ford Maverick Lobo.
Will you?
I would like to, actually. I think it's kind of cool. We should... got parts from the European Ford Focus on it. Like the Ford Focus ST.
Yeah, the good one.
The good one, yeah.
Yeah. We should really start doing, like, other videos.
That would be cool. I could talk for days, just, like, car news and car topics.
Yes.
Outside of racing.
I hope that in probably the spring of 2027, I will be able to get a motorcycle finally and fulfill all my motovlogging dreams.
That would be cool.
That would be something to look forward to on Rev Hang, and I think I would really enjoy doing that, and it wouldn't be nearly as difficult to edit.
Yeah.
So,
and eventually I'll get a project car and I'll learn how to make videos.
Yes. My car is so cursed that no one wants to know about it. So,
your car is the project.
My car is the getting to work every day, making sure my car starts is the project. Anyway, so that is the singular announcement. Rev Hang will move to Wednesdays, still at 12 p.m. Pacific time. But yeah, paddock news. Only one thing, Verstappen is reportedly staying at Red Bull. He will not be making the jump to Mercedes, or so they say, but so they've been saying a lot of things the last month or so. So, that is the latest update. Let's move into IndyCar. We have four races to go over today, and we are going to be extremely brief on all of them. Mm-hmm. We're not even going to read all the finishers, because that's just too much. So, top 10 in qualifying for the first race in Iowa, which is everybody's favorite oval. And that sounded sarcastic, but it's not. It's a great oval.
Everyone's favorite oval since they took all the other good ovals off the calendar.
Yes.
Like Texas.
Texas, yeah. Texas is the first one that comes to mind. All right. Qualifying top 10 on pole position was Joseph Newgarden, followed by Connor Daly, so you know it was a spicy first lap. Followed by Felix Rosenqvist, Alex Flo, Padua Ward in fifth. 6 through 10 were Dixon, Power, Siegel, Ferrucci, and Malukas. Moving briefly into the highlights of the race, Padua Ward drove very well to keep the lead from Newgarden at the end. Newgarden got screwed over by poorly timed yellow flags twice and still managed to finish second. Polo snuck in a good result after dropping back initially and having a tough race. So, top 10 in the race, the big point scorers were Padua Ward winning, followed by Newgarden and Power. 4th and 5th were McLaughlin and Polo. 6 through 10 were Rasmussen, Daly, Ferrucci, Armstrong, and Dixon.
Finally a good result for the Penske boys.
Yeah, Penske boys, 2-3-4. Still no win on the season, but...
because looking at the next Iowa race is...
yes. Looking at the next Iowa race, qualifying top 10, we had Pelot, Rosenqvist, Malukas, Newgarden, Siegel, top 5. 6 through 10, we had Power, Daly, Dixon, O'Ward, and Rahal. Notably, I said it, and they did it. They did do two separate qualifyings for yeah. this year. So our predictions will reflect that.
It's fine.
Moving into the race, Pelot dominated, and Penske went back to being Penske and struggle bust hard.
Literally... almost outside of the top 10, except for Newgarden.
Yeah.
Which is insane, because they placed 2, 3, and 4 in the last race on the same exact track in the same exact weekend.
Same car, yeah.
Same car.
Same-ish strategy, yeah.
With more practice, arguably.
Yeah. All right, top 10 in the race for Pelot, Dixon, Armstrong, Malukas, O'Ward in the top 5. 6 through 10 were Lundgaard, Rosenqvist, Rasmussen, Schwartzman, and Newgarden. Moving on to Toronto, everybody's favorite Canadian IndyCar track.
yeah.
Top 10 in qualifying. I'm not wrong. Top 10 in qualifying. We have Colton Herta on pole position. Let's go, Herta Bros. Alex Below, Marcus Armstrong, Will Power, and Graham Rahal round off the top 5. 6 through 10 were Kirkwood, Foster, Erickson, VK, and O'Ward. Moving into the race, O'Ward's team, McLaren, had a great strategy call early on that ended up pogo stick jumping him into the lead. And he was able to maintain the lead throughout the rest of the race, drove fantastic. The strategy was on point. He just kind of drove full gas all the way to the end, didn't have to save it all.
This was a huge strategy race.
Yeah, massive strategy race. There was so much going on. Very fun to watch. One of my favorite races of the season, I think, so far. Rinus VK drove very well and scored his first podium in quite a while. It's been, I think, several years since...
oh, he did. Look at that.
Yeah, since he's been on the podium... He has won, I think, 2 races, both ovals, I believe. Both Texas, I believe. But so that tells you how long it's been. Kiffin Simpson also drove well for his first podium, the rookie boy. And Alex Flo struggled with a bad strategy and dropped all the way, I think, initially to P17 and then made his way up to P12 by the end of the race.
With his Polo power.
Polo power, indeed. Yeah, he got screwed on strategy big time.
Colton successfully bottled another pole position.
Yeah, well, not completely bottled, but yeah, off the podium at least.
Yeah.
So, moving into the results of the race, we had O'Ward as the winner, followed by VK and Simpson on the podium. 4th and 5th were Herta and Erickson. 6 through 10 were Kirkwood, Rahal, Ilott, Malukas, and Dixon. Moving on to IndyCar at Laguna Seca. Final IndyCar race of the day.
It's so weird having Laguna Seca so early in the season.
Yeah, it is. We're really flying through this, so
yeah,
this is
good,
though.
Yeah, I mean, where Pelot's at, it might as well be the end of the season. But
yeah, right, exactly.
Whatever.
All right, qualifying top 10 was Pelot on pole position, followed by O'Ward and Herta. Spicy top 3. Fourth and fifth were Newgarden and Power. Sixth through ten were Malukas, Lundgaard, Rahal, Foster, and Armstrong. Moving into the highlights of the race, Pelot dominated the entire race. It wasn't even close. It was not entertaining whatsoever. Herta stayed on the podium, though. Lundgaard made his way from P7 to P2. Lundgaard was very entertaining to watch during that race.
Yeah, he had probably the best race out of anybody, honestly. He wasn't Alex Pelot.
No. There were lots of yellow flags, lots of people spinning off and crashing, and Marcus Ericsson spinning at the top of the hill over a blind crest and almost getting absolutely destroyed.
Dude, they waited so long for the caution on that. That was absolutely insane.
It was almost a full lap, I think. He was just sitting there. It was crazy.
Yeah, but a lot of people, I mean, we've come off of a lot of Midwest races where there's grass runoff, so you still have a little bit of grip.
Yeah.
But Laguna Seca is just dust.
It's all dust.
You're in the desert.
If you touch the dirt while you're turning, you're
spinning.
You will
die. Yes. Yeah. So a lot of people just like dipping their wheels just barely off, and then just a plume of smoke in the back.
Plume of smoke, yes. All right, moving into the results, Alex Pelot won the race by multiple seconds after two race restarts near the end. He probably would have won by 25 to 30 seconds if there was green flag running for the second half of the race.
Yeah,
he was so much faster.
Really needed those yellows to stay relevant in the strategy, especially Colton Herta. Yeah, Pato O'Ward.
O'Ward was running like seventh for a while, and because of the yellows, he was able to get a fourth place out of it. So speaking of which, let's go through the results. Alex Pelot won the race, followed by Christian Lundgaard and Colton Herta. Fourth and fifth were O'Ward and Dixon. Sixth through ten were Ilott, Power, Armstrong, Rasmussen, and McLaughlin. So Penske did okay. Not by Penske standards, but probably one of their better races of the season, as sad as that is to say.
Yeah,
except for Iowa 1.
That's rough.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah. Will Power maybe hanging on for another season? There's been so much talk of him just not being on the grid next year.
Yeah, I know.
Which is crazy to me, because a couple years ago he was fighting for another
championship. He won the championship.
Oh, wait, yeah, he was, because he was fighting with Newgarden, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won. He's the one that split up the Pelot championships.
Yeah, because he was fighting with Pelot last year.
No, I think it was O'Ward and Pelot last year, but the year before that was when Power won.
Yeah.
Because the same race, he broke the pole position record.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I don't think he's had a pole position this year yet.
No.
So, he is getting old, though, so I would not be surprised if he just decides to call it a day if he's shown the door.
I mean, so is Scott Dixon.
As is Scott Dixon.
The man is third in the standings right now.
Somehow the man, like, the last few years has just been, like, kind of pulling out. Like, it's like he's kind of anonymous, but then he's just somehow at the top of the championship
standings.
He's
just waiting there. Yeah.
He's very consistent, which, is what you need in IndyCar. Unfortunately, Alex Pelot is also consistent, but also consistently
first. And
also
just faster.
Yes. And somehow is just as good at fuel saving as Scott Dixon. I don't know. IndyCar, as long as Pelot is here, is gonna be
divisive.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the Verstappen. Like, people like to see how far somebody can go, but people also hate to see a guy win all the time.
Every single time, yeah.
Yeah. Weird how it's flip flopped.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk about Colton Herta. Colton Herta. Herta boys.
Quattro Bagina, my favorite racer.
All right. Colton Herta is back. He's had a good string of races, a bunch of top five finishes recently.
Yeah, he's jumped to seventh in the standings.
Yeah.
Where was he last?
10th or 11th, I think.
I'm looking at the last script. Like a little time capsule.
Didn't have a great Iowa 2.
I guess he was 7th 3 weeks ago also.
Did not
have I'd have to go Iowa. Further back. He's definitely catching up.
Yeah.
He will never catch up, but he could fight for 6th place.
fifth or sixth with maybe Lundgaard and Rossi there. Yeah.
Lundgaard's been so strong, though. There's, I don't know.
Lundgaard has been strong. I think he's probably going to get sixth, if I were to guess, because yeah. Rosenqvist is right in front of him. So, yeah, I mean that, where does that put him in the super license standings? I don't know. Probably, he's had so many bad years
I think he was needing to get sixth.
He's going to be 1 point off that super license. Tragic.
Andretti doing everything they can.
Andretti, sad times. Andretti's looking like it's not going to have an American driver, though, from everything we're hearing.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I guess, yeah, like, you want to have your best shot possible to build, like, a good car and a good team.
Yeah.
At the same time, like,
be our American
be
team,
be flashy,
please.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Colton Herta would do fine.
Cast Brad Pitt. I don't care. Have him crash into everybody, just like in the movie.
Yes, I just saw the movie last week.
I haven't
week.
Seen the movie yet.
Oh, you haven't?
I was thinking of triple featuring it. Superman, Fantastic Four, and F1 back-to-back-to-back.
I just watched Superman and F1 last week, and Superman
Which one
was
did you like better?
Superman. I liked better. But Formula One was actually a good movie. It was a good movie. If you know too much about F1 like we do, you'll notice a lot of things.
It's like watching Drive to Survive is kind of what I've heard from like a...
Sort of. I mean,
like a dramatizing standpoint,
it's
I guess.
It's very, very dramatic, yes. Yeah. But also just things like Sonny Hayes hasn't raced in F1 since the early 90s. Kind of just did some one-off races. He won Daytona, but like they said in the beginning, he never stays in the series for longer than a race or two, and so he just bops around to whatever he wants to race in. And so he clearly would not have a super license, would not even be close to qualifying
this
for a super
straight
license.
Straight from SCCA Super Comp straight to F1. He's that good.
He's that good. Yes. Things like that, and then, of course, you know, I don't want to spoil too much, but let me just say that intentionally causing safety cars is not a legal thing that you can do, and I'll leave it there.
Hasn't there been recently controversy surrounding that, and a couple moves that were made in 2008?
Yeah, yes, Renault in 2008 made it very clear that intentionally causing safety cars is highly illegal.
That's bad.
Yes. And crashing into anybody and everybody who's literally lapping you is not
But Nathan,
either.
They built the car for combat.
They did. Also, basically like a tractor at the beginning of the movie, which the beginning of the movie is 9 races from the end of the season. He joins the team halfway through the season. I guess I'm going to spoil some stuff.
That's fine.
But I'm not going to go... I mean, it's an F1
Just don't
movie.
Spoil... I'm more worried about you spoiling Superman for me than I
I'm
am
I'm not
going to
spoil
movie.
Superman for you. But he joins... There's 9 races left in the season. The car is a tractor. Mm-hmm. He does 1 race. And he's like, you got to change this and this and this on the car. They come with the upgrades the next race. And the car is fighting for wins.
Lewis Hamilton is in shambles at Ferrari.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, there were some things that I think, like, I went to see it with one of my buddies that isn't, like, big in F1, doesn't know anything about it, and he liked it, and he thought, he's like, some of those crashes were pretty unrealistic, huh? And I was like, actually, no. He's like, what? Like, the car flipped through the air 3 times and then exploded when it fell off the edge of the track. And I'm like, yeah, that's happened. I showed him that video of that, I think it was F3 in Monza. It was either Monza or Spa. I think it was Monza. Where the car hits the grate in... off the edge of the track and literally just pull them like off. Yeah.
You could have showed him the scene from Monaco for F2.
yeah. Right. Exactly. And then for, as far as the car exploding goes, you need to go no further than the Grosjean crash, which we all remember so well.
Yeah.
All right, back to IndyCar. Palou,
he's going to win the championship. Racing movie podcast. We like play Forza Motorsport and talk about racing movies.
We'd have to like sit and watch racing. Yeah,
movie reviews, but while on Forza Motorsport.
There's only so many racing movies, though, Ben.
There's dozens of them.
Dozens. We'd have dozens of episodes.
I'm not saying only the good racing movies.
No, all
I'm
of them.
Saying
no.
I get the you. Racing movies.
I hear you. Yeah, we get to watch Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
Right back to back with Talladega Nights.
The OG Speed Racer anime.
OG Speed Racer. We can watch Initial D. Yeah. Oh yes. I actually need to watch that. So same. This might be a good idea, Ben. You got to get Forza Motorsport so we can.
I bought it.
Oh, did you?
I'm realizing now that it's really hard. You can't see it. The chair poses problems for when I'm trying to push on the notoriously brakes. Difficult to press Logitech G29 Pro brake pedal. I just go backwards when I try to stop.
I've seen so many setups of people that have like wooden chairs and they put the legs inside their shoes so that it has traction. Yeah.
Maybe that'll be an episode as Ben tries to build something to allow him to that makes the G29 Pro usable.
Put a plastic folding chair with the legs in cinder blocks.
Like, on this episode, Ben buys a lawn tractor and strips it down.
Puts just it in his office. Yes. Back to IndyCar. Palou is going to win the championship in Portland, almost certainly. He would have to get outscored by Pato O'Ward by 30 some odd points. Looks like 31. To not win the championship in Portland, which seems very unlikely.
Yeah.
Very likely Palou's going to win in Portland, which is three races before the end of the season. Yeah. If Pato had a bad race in Laguna Seca, it would have been over then.
That's crazy. Great job security for the Portland International Raceway, though.
Yeah. Second time Palou's won the championship there.
They can never take it off the calendar. It's just where people win.
Exactly. Pato O'Ward is in very good form right now. He's been doing very well the last couple of races. And Penske still having issues all season. I think they've kind of written off this season at this point.
Yeah. The worst part is there's no, like, it's not like an F1 where you write off one season to focus on next year's car development.
No, it's just like all bad.
It's the same car. You just have to get better.
More like a mental write-off. Just like, yeah. I'm just not going to think about it. Not worry about it too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's looking like with how bad this season has been, I think Will Power's seat might be in trouble there. I mean, they say that he's in 9th place. Scott McLaughlin is in 12th. And Joseph Newgarden is in 15th. And
do you
again,
think it's a driver problem, do you think it's a team? Do you think it's like a car, like
setup, maybe
setup problem, or do you think it's a team cultural problem where they're just kind of in shambles right now mentally?
I think it's a mix of a lot of things. I think it's a mix of all of those things. I think ever since the new hybrid units have come out, Penske's kind of just been bad. I don't know how much that has to do with it. I'd imagine that changes the way you set up the car quite a bit. I'd imagine that changes strategy quite a bit.
A lot heavier, so yeah, it changes your fuel strategies, tire strategies.
Maybe they just haven't been able to make that jump yet. As far as drivers go, it's really hard to say that Joseph Newgarden and Will Power, two-time world champions, are bad drivers at this point. Scott McLaughlin has had some great seasons in the past.
Yeah.
In this season, he's been atrocious. So it's really hard to know. I mean, if it was me and I was being absolutely super cutthroat, Newgarden has had 3 or 4 bad years in a row, other than the Indy 500 wins. So, yeah. I mean, at this point, maybe start to think about cutting ties with Newgarden. He'll land somewhere else. He's still young. He's still got drive. So maybe like Meyershank or one of the smaller teams.
Sentenced to Meyershank Racing.
It's better than being off the grid.
You're being sent to ECR.
Brutal. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, with Willpower being at the age he is, I could also see them just saying, hey, it's your time to go, and then he either sunsets at a small team or just retires. Either way. But yeah, so championship standings don't really matter much anymore. We've kind of already talked about it a little bit. So let's move on to Formula One. How far are we in, Ben?
How are you on time? 34 minutes?
Yeah, but it was like 10 minutes of recording beforehand, so we're on track.
Nice.
All right, Belgian Grand Prix time. Spa-Francorchamps, everybody's favorite track to drive and least favorite track to watch. We'll talk about that later. Top 10 in qualifying and sprint qualifying, because it was a sprint race this weekend. We had Piastri, Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, and Ocon in the top 5. 6 through 10 were Sainz, Behrman, Gasly, Hadjar, and Bortoleto.
Bortoleto in top 10. Let's go.
Love to see it. Sprint highlights. Verstappen passed Piastri on lap 1. That's it.
That's the race, folks.
That's the race. So, sprint results. Verstappen, Piastri, Norris, Leclerc, and Ocon in the top 5. Sainz, Behrman, Hadjar, Bortoleto, and Lawson. Rounding off the top 10.
Hey, Lawson in top 10. There you go.
Moving into the qualifying for the race. Lando Norris was on pole position, followed by Piastri and Leclerc. Fourth and fifth were Verstappen and Albon, who had a great qualifying. Sixth through 10 were Russell, Tsunoda, Hadjar, Lawson, and Bortoleto. Yuki Tsunoda with a Q3 appearance.
And Bortoleto, all it took was getting rid of team leadership.
Yeah, exactly. Moving into the race. The race started under safety car in very wet conditions, but not really that wet conditions.
They and also after cautious. An hour and a half delay.
Hour and a half rain delay. I'm really glad I didn't wake up.
Spectators having 2022 flashbacks.
2021.
Was it 20?
It was 21.
Did that really happen during 2021?
Yeah, because it was the year, because they got half points for the race. And remember, into the last race, they were tied at, like, something and a half points.
George Russell was psyched because he got, like, 1 point.
No, George Russell, it was his first podium. He got P2 because in qualifying in the rain the day before, he, like, qualified second. And then he's like, oh, I guess I just got a podium in a Williams. Which back then was very essentially, exciting. Like, comparable to Hülkenberg's podium in a Sauber. Well, with Sauber's pace, it's probably even more impressive than that. Maybe, like, if Lance Stroll got a podium right now.
There you go.
So, race highlights. The race started under safety car in wet conditions. Piastri passed Norris on the restart. I say restart, it was really just a rolling start. Hamilton quickly made his way up through the field into the points positions.
Yeah, he did a great drive.
And then everything stalled out and nothing happened for the last 30 laps of the race. Yeah.
Yep.
It was kind of a chase at the end. Norris chasing down Piastri. Nothing really came of it because Norris kept messing up. So, moving on to the results, it was Piastri followed by Norris and Leclerc on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Verstappen and Russell. 6 through 10 were Albon, Hamilton, Lawson, Bortoleto, and Gasly. So, let's talk about some stuff, Ben.
The talking point, Spa is no longer a good track for F1, is crazy.
Is it, though?
No.
Is
I
it,
mean,
Ben?
It's kind of like Suzuka. We had a Suzuka situation.
Suzuka was horrible this year.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. In Suzuka, I'm not willing to kick out of F1 yet. And I say this, but there are caveats to this point. So the talking point, bullet point, is Spa is no longer a good track for F1, which I stand behind. However, with a regulation change next year, I'm hoping it's easier to follow. Maybe the straights will play out differently because of the hybrids.
Well, they will, because they'll run out of power after...
Exactly.
What was their... I watched a video on their precise math for, like, how long a car could go at full throttle. along the Monza street.
Yeah. And it's like 7 seconds.
Their solution wasn't to give them more power. It was to have the battery power dial back.
Yeah, dial back slowly. Slowly. So that they time it so it runs out right at the end of the street.
But you're just going slower and slower anyways, so, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Surely this will not have implications.
No. It might be an absolute nightmare next year. However, I think nightmares will be fun to watch.
A seventh gear corner.
Yes. I think it'll be fun to watch, no matter if it's good or bad. I'm excited for these new regulations because it changes everything about all the cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're making the cars smaller, even though it's not a huge difference.
Not a huge problem at Spa, but...
Yeah. Well, yeah, in general... Smaller cars are better. The cars are, I believe, a little heavier because of the bigger batteries.
Mm-hmm.
They also are getting rid of the MGUH or MGUK, one of the MGUs. So it's not that much heavier.
The H.
Smaller cars, it would make sense because the K would be kinetic for... Yeah, that would be charging the battery.
The turbo recycling, essentially, I think.
Yes. Which, that's the other thing. Is they're still turbocharged cars, but they're not going to have turbo recycling, so turbo leg might come back.
Yeah.
Which will be very exciting to watch.
But no, it's solved because the batteries, as long as you have battery power, which isn't a problem unless you're on a long track or on a street.
Yeah, but wouldn't it still, because they're going to be deploying 100% battery power, and then the turbo will kick in. So I'm still thinking there's going to be some turbo leg. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not a race car engineer like my good friend Ben here, so.
Very vaguely. I've been in the semiconductor industry for 5 years, brother.
Tell me how turbos work in a Formula One car, Ben.
Barely remember how a differential works.
Yeah. So, regardless, I think it'll be good next year. Spa, I'm excited for next year.
I really want to see a low-drag Indy car on Spa. I think that would be fun. Completely off-topic, but...
Spa, cool. I want to say, is still a very good racetrack because the 24 Hours of Spa is one of the most legendary races of all time. That's all GT cars. The racing is fantastic, unless you're on iRacing in the 22nd split, which any of you who know will know. I was not a part of it. I'm just... Anyone who is in that community will understand that reference. So, getting off track here, the championship battle in F1 is still very close. Piastri is only 16 points ahead of Lando. Little bit of breathing room, but not too much. One DNF, and it's all flipped on its head. Max Verstappen, though, is pretty much out of the championship. He is officially 65 points behind Lando Norris in second. And that would make it, I can't math right now, 81 points? That looks right. 81 sure. points behind Piastri, which is over 3 race wins. And at this point, that with, 10 races left in the season, that's pretty...
That's not happening.
That's not
happening. Not tenable.
Yeah, so... I guess don't count Max out until he's mathematically out of it. But
he's out of it.
He's pretty much out of it. So we're going to see the good old number 33 back in action next year.
Good old
33. Max Crashstappen coming back at you. So championship standings we talked about a little bit. Nothing too crazy. Nico Hülkenberg still in ninth place. Love to see that. McLaren still like double the points of Ferrari, 516 to 248. This is such a dominant season, it's crazy. Mercedes is at 220, close to Ferrari. They could still battle for second place. And then Red Bull is at 192, so if Yuki Tsunoda can start scoring points, maybe they can...
There's a chance.
There's a chance, but unlikely. Because Tsunoda started 7th and finished 13th in this race.
Williams is pretty clear of Sauber at this point.
Yep, because Albon got that P6, great result. So, Pit Stop Championship. First place this week was Yuki Tsunoda. with a time of 2.17 seconds, followed by Hamilton, Lawson, Antonelli, and Bortoleto. 6 through 10 were Alonso, Colapinto, Albon, Sainz, and Leclerc. Slowest pit stop time was Max Verstappen with a time of 4.69 seconds.
Awesome.
Love to see that. I think he got held in the pits.
Absolute Andretti pit stop right there.
Andretti pit stop. Colton Herta-esque. Standings for the pit stop championship, Lewis Hamilton still out in front, followed by Charles Leclerc. And then a distant third is Yuki Tsunoda. Then Piastri and Bortoleto, fourth and fifth, tied with 103 points. 6 through 10 are Lawson, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, and Antonelli. Carlos Sainz scored his first points of the season this week with a P9.
Really? So,
2 points for the Williams driver. Have
his pit really been that bad?
Yes, they have.
That's insane.
Williams is at the bottom of the table with 19 points on the season in pit stops.
That's crazy. Well, I guess they keep retiring their drivers before they get to pit stops.
That's true.
They run out of opportunities.
Yep. So Ferrari way out in front, 373 to McLaren's 188. RB is at 172. Red Bull is at 171. So might get a pretty spicy battle for second this year. Mercedes at 146, Sauber at 139, Alpine at 86, Haas and Aston Martin tied at 22, and Williams at 19.
Rough.
So you can tell the bottom three teams have been struggling this year. Considering the bottom team of the championship is currently Alpine at 20 points in the drivers or the constructors championship. And it's a lot easier to get points in a pit stop championship.
Yeah.
And there's three teams hovering around 20 points right now is brutal. Overtake of the week. I'm going to give this to Alex Palou
for
his overtake on Christian Lundgaard at Laguna Seca. Fantastic overtake around the outside of turn three. I think it's turn three. It's hard because the kink on the straight is turn one, but I think the whole hairpin is turn two, even though it's squared off. So yeah, Laguna Seca, they just count corners weird.
It's an old track.
Yeah, they are allowed to do that. There's also the corkscrew, which is turn A or turn eight and turn 8A,
which I feel like that should be three corners in and of itself, honestly. But
yeah, really. Congratulations, Alex Palou, on winning yet another thing this season. All right, let's move into our predictions. Bust this out, Ben.
Yep, I'm going to close the door because I'm pretty sure I just heard the door, a car door, shut.
Uh-huh.
Extra cursed.
Extra cursed.
Extra cursed. Okay.
Iowa won. Let's move into it. Love this episode already. This is why I need Tuesdays to edit, because I'm going to make this hilarious.
To recover from this, mentally.
Pole position in Iowa 1 went to Joseph Newgarden. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Rasmussen for this.
I had Newgarden. Nailed it. Podium was Award, Newgarden, and Power. What did you say?
I had Malukas, Award, and Rahal.
I had Newgarden, McLaughlin, and Palou. Winning number of pit stops was 4. What'd you say, Ben?
I had 5.
I had 4.
Wow. You kind of swept that first race.
Kind of nailed that one. Race results for Iowa 2. Pole position went to... Alex Palou. What did you say, Ben?
I had Rasmussen.
And I had Newgarden. Which I'll need to change that to not be green. Podium was Alex Palou, Scott Dixon, and Marcus Armstrong. What did you say, Ben?
I had Newgarden, Palou, and Lundgaard. So I sniped Palou on this one.
You did. I had Palou, Award, and Kirkwood. So we both got Palou on this one. Winning number of pit stops was 4. What did you say, Ben?
I had 4.
And I had 5. We just flipped it, and
I feel like you had to know that it was going to be 4 both times, and you just gave it to me on this one. You're like, I'll do 5. I'll let him have the number 4 this time.
I thought it was going to be either 4 or 5, so I hedged my bets, but I was pretty sure it was going to be 4 both times.
Yeah.
All right, Toronto, pole position, went to Colton Herta. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Kirkwood.
I had Lundgaard. Podium was Award, VK, and Simpson. What did you say?
I had Kirkwood, Herta, and Pelot.
I had Kirkwood, Pelot, and Dixon. Winning over pit stops was 3. What'd you say, Ben?
And I had 3.
I had 2, so you really nailed that one. Laguna Seca, pole position, went to Alex Pelot. What'd you say, Ben?
Connor Daly.
Connor Daly. I said Alex Pelot, and I absolutely nailed it. Podium was Pelot, Lundgaard, and Herta. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Kirkwood, Pelot, and Award.
Tragic. Yeah. I had Pelot, Herta, and Power, so two for 3 on that one. Winning number of pit stops was 3. What'd you say?
I always got to go 3, so...
Nailed it on that one. I said 2, but it was 3. Top 5 for Belgium. Belgian Grand Prix were Piastri, Norris, Leclerc, Verstappen, and Russell. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, and Antonelli with Hülkenberg as my dark horse. So I got 3 of them.
You did. I got none of them. I said Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Hamilton, and Leclerc with Lawson is my dark horse.
Oof.
Not good. Fastest lap went to Kimi Antonelli of all people. What did you say, Ben?
I had Norris.
I had Piastri.
Were we supposed to get that one?
I don't know. Driver of the day went to Oscar Piastri. What did you say, Ben?
I had Hülkenberg.
I had Lando Norris, so not a great race from
not
us.
Not great.
You got 3, though, in the top 5, so yeah. Not too bad. All right, moving on to our predictions for the Hungarian Grand Prix. Give me your top 5, Ben.
I'm gonna take a chance and say that maybe Verstappen first, and then Piastri, Leclerc, Norris, and Hamilton, and I'm going to say Hadjar is my dark horse.
Hadjar is your dark horse. I've got Lando Norris winning this one, followed by Piastri and Russell on the podium. 4th and 5th, I've got Antonelli and Verstappen. And Pierre Gasly is my dark horse. Fastest lap, what do you got?
I'm going to say Piastri.
And I'm going to say George Russell.
It's a lot harder to predict these fastest laps now there's no points for them.
Yeah. For sure. Driver
it takes
of the
away
day.
All the strategy calls.
Yeah. Driver of the day, what do you got, Ben?
I've got Verstappen.
I have Sainz for this one.
Bold.
All right, Ben. Words of wisdom. What do you got for us this week?
Of wisdom are...
The dogs are in the house.
My words of wisdom, don't let the dogs in the house. Just kidding. my words of wisdom are... I had something. I've lost it.
You had
Shoot.
Something.
Do you have something?
Do I have something? Always be prepared, in the wise words of the Boy
Scouts. Be prepared
Scouts.
For what?
Be prepared
Just
for
in general?
In general. If you're going somewhere and you need to bring things, bring those things.
That's fair, yeah. It's okay to overpack, is that what you're saying?
It's okay to overpack, but let's see. What's some good... Oh, I've got one. Set up my record player and speakers
Ooh.
This weekend. So, words of wisdom, get yourself a record player and some good speakers.
There
Don't
you go.
Cheap out on speakers.
We've got time.
Definitely
what speakers did you get? What record player did you get?
I've got some Edifier speakers, but they're not like cheap Edifiers. They're like
nice.
The nice ones. I don't remember.
Just like a nice pair of bookshelf speakers?
Yeah.
Or
mm-hmm.
Nice.
Bookshelf. So I didn't go crazy, but I didn't cheap out. They need speaker wire and everything, so I went legit. And I have an Audio-Technica record player.
Nice.
It's solid. It's got Bluetooth, so you don't have to worry about that. It works, and records are amazing.
What are you powering the speakers off of, or are they powered?
They're just powered off the wall.
Okay, so they have like a wall in. They're like built-in amplifiers?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so built-in amplifier, and then connect them with speaker wire, which I still don't know how exactly how that works, but...
I mean, it's just two signals.
I know.
Or one signal, I guess.
One signal and some neutral power.
I know.
But it goes through, like, this... I don't know. Anyway. also, speaker wire. More words of wisdom. Don't buy, like a round... Like, if you can get a pre-packed thing of speaker wire, don't do it. Buy it in bulk.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because I went to the hardware store, and you can get speaker wire for 39 cents a foot. Or you can get 8 feet for, like, 10 bucks.
Yeah, I think I got, like, 40 feet for... I don't know if you can see it, but I got, like, 40 feet of the speaker wire. But it was, like, 35 bucks, buy it, like, prepackaged.
Yeah.
And it's so much cheaper just to...
Way cheaper.
Get it in bulk and cut it yourself. Yeah.
So, those are the real words of wisdom. Buy your speaker wire, and probably most other wires, in bulk. It's going to be a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Than buying something pre-packed. I can tell you coax is a lot cheaper if you buy in bulk. But then you also need all the tools to put the fittings on, which...
then it gets more expensive.
All of your money anyway is going down the drain for something you're going to do once every blue moon. Which I have much experience doing that as a former cable guy, so.
Wow, that got really niche.
Did get really niche.
I like that.
Speaker wire, that's the words of wisdom.
Also, unrelated I guess, but did you hear that how many people got cut from Turn 10 Studios and Xbox this most recent round of layoffs?
I didn't hear how many people, but I did hear that it was large and that Forza is in trouble.
Oh, you mean the game that we just bought?
Yeah, that one. I also did see that the Hayabusa will be in Forza Horizon 6. I don't know if it was a real leak or just a meme. I don't know how they would put a Hayabusa in a Forza Horizon game, but if it's true, I'm here for it. Give me that Suzuki glory.
I guess I'm salty at Forza Horizons for taking so much development time and attention away from the mainline Forza games.
I did really like Forza Horizon 5, though.
Yeah.
It's a very fun game.
I had the original Forza Horizon, and that was fun.
I think, though, it's a lot like if you had, like, if you took Need for Speed and took the cops out of it.
Yeah,
so
it's essentially,
like,
Need for Speed without the cops.
And it's kind of less fun that way.
Yeah.
Need for Speed is a great game.
Give me a card that generates shockwaves so I can explode Dodge Durangos.
Yes. However, in Need for Speed, you cannot build an 1100 horsepower Nissan 300 or a Datsun 300ZX like you can in Forza Horizon 5. So.
Yeah, I did find out that if you put a twin turbo V12 into a Mercedes SL300, it does ruin the car.
Yeah, the Datsun I have is undrivable, just to let you know.
Yeah, that is the funny part, is they will totally allow you to make the cars worse and undrivable.
Which I like. I like that a lot. Boy, my buddy's F40 is so fast. But it's like on a knife's edge, and if you screw up, you're toast. Anyways. Those are our weird words of wisdom for this week. It's been a cursed one, but it's been a good one. So
it's more fun that way sometimes.
Sometimes, even though it's been like the last 3 episodes. We'll get back on track soon, I'm sure. But until then, everybody, thank you so much for watching and listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or a rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more cursed content. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials and comments or DMs, and we might feature your question on the next show. Please give Ben somebody to talk to in our YouTube comments, because he's so lonely down there.
It's for the engagement.
You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week. to talk about the Formula One Hungarian Grand Prix. We will only have one race instead of five to go through.
So much time to talk about other
so much time.
Other activities.
Yes, indeed. So much time to get the episode right. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.